going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you want proof, it's a coup, Lee, by the numbers. Here you go. Judicial coup update. Radical leftist judges waging all-out war. And I think they've just decided, the Democrats have, they'll just, everything he does, they'll just have one of the 700 judicial dictators say he can't do it. 209 legal challenges in under 100 days have received judges' rulings, either forcing Trump to do something or enjoining him from doing it. That's compared to 64 injunctions his entire first term.
The lawfare continues.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at the scale of it, it's truly shocking. I mean, when you look at that, the numbers that I just gave you, that is more than every single president since the founding combined, which shows you there's something going on here we've never seen before. And that is as of not even 100 days in office. Not a thing from the Republicans. It has now been a month since Mike Johnson was blistered by Ron DeSantis for doing nothing. And he had to do a round of television interviews to kind of tamp that down and promising to do stuff. And he's got a bill and he said he'd get it through in a week. And nothing. It's been a month. Every day that goes by while the Democrats watch this, they're more and more encouraged. And this is why they're now talking about jailing everyone in Team Trump. And the judges are saying, hey, hand over a list of everybody who handled this. It's going to be fascinating to see how this ends.
It's not going to end well.
No. And as Ron DeSantis said, it could. We could try. This was back when he was blistering Speaker Mike Johnson.
We're talking about the courts. You know the courts as good as anyone.
Limit the jurisdiction.
Congress can limit the jurisdiction of the courts. That is plain in the Constitution. It doesn't require 67 votes in the Senate. You can attach it to a CR. You can attach it to a must-pass bill. And here's the thing. If somehow you tried to do that and maybe it just didn't work, then I think our voters would at least understand. They're not even trying any of this stuff.
It's infuriating.
We knew these leftist judges were going to do what they're doing. Everybody predicted that. President Trump knew that. This was one where the Congress is basically, and what are they? They're on 2 weeks of vacation now, really? That must be nice.
Yeah.
I think they got a lot of work to do.
And I just think he's right about this, that if you at least try,
yeah,
you've got some excuse. Because I think that's part of what Trump is doing here. He knew full well that he was going to be battled in the courts on everything he's trying to do. But the thing is, he is trying to do everything that he campaigned on during the election. So he can go to the voters honestly and say, hey, I tried. I did this. We did that. And guess what? These Democrat judges stopped us. These Democrats in the Senate or the House stopped us, or whatever the case may be. And he can legitimately say, I tried to do what you elected me to do. These people stopped us. So here's why you need to reelect Republicans or me or whoever.
The base is getting restless, though.
I mean,
I've seen both Steve Bannon and Charlie Kirk start to say, listen, Trump's got to start calling these people out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why he wants to avoid it. I know why he hasn't, because he doesn't, you know, his big, beautiful bill isn't passed yet. He doesn't want to bog stuff down. But at this point, I'm starting to see, like, what difference does it make? It's almost May. They can't get that done. Here's DeSantis saying that the Congress has got to act.
If you look at how our government, not just on immigration, on everything, how our constitutional system has really been transfigured in a bad way over many, many decades, the root of the problem is Congress's fecklessness. The reason why you have so much debt, continuing resolutions, a massive bureaucracy run amok, because Congress doesn't use the power of the purse to rein it in. The reason why you have these judges doing what they're doing, because Congress has not used the authority in the Constitution to take political issues away from the courts and make sure that that's reserved in the executive branch. So I don't know. I mean, basically, if Congress isn't going to do anything, then you're hoping that the U.S. Supreme Court will ultimately put the kibosh on this. And maybe they will. And I think that the arguments that the Trump administration will put forward are the right arguments. But I've also seen them put forward the right arguments already, and the Supreme Court has not been willing to adopt those arguments yet. But if they don't put the kibosh on this, then you're just going to have 4 years of trying to find the most liberal judge you can, file a lawsuit, they'll say nationwide injunction, and then your hands are tied from doing the job that the American people elected the president to do.
Yeah, after this ruling this last weekend, Lee, by the Supreme Court, which was quite frankly terrifying, I'm very afraid for Trump to send them any kind of immigration case, because I'm afraid we're going to end up establishing that these people have rights they didn't have before this. This could easily backfire. It did this past weekend with that shock ruling with John Roberts joining open border zealot Amy Coney Barrett and the liberals to tell him, no, you can't use the Alien Enemies Act unless you have a hearing for every one of them. I mean, come on. St. Kilmer already had 3 hearings. So this is another hearing. This is not good precedent. And I really question. Honestly, I'd rather go the route of less resistance to me and less risk is going through Congress and just starting to call these guys out and saying, look, Mike Johnson is standing in the way. He is enabling these liberal judges. Call him out by name. I don't know what's left to do. Because I'm telling you, Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts, when it comes down to it, you can see the indicators are there. They are going to go with open borders. They are both Bush wing Republicans. They will do what they were recruited to do. There's a reason Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham wanted Amy Coney Barrett. They're both open borders guys. And remember, Mitch McConnell gave a Trump list to people that were appropriate. And that's how she ended up on the court. She's full on with the left. I'm just afraid we're going to see, because this is why they're trying to get this second guy back now. Because again, as Steve Bannon said this week, and he's right about this, he said that if they get one of these guys back and there's a hearing, our sovereignty is done. It's finished. That's the legal precedent now. You cannot allow it. It's a really bad situation to be in. It's not good.
And it's just sad that we have to rely on congressional action to get anything done, because that's not going to happen.
No. And look, Democrat Representative Laura Friedman last week described this, what they're doing.
Every single week, we have a litigation working group where a large group of us, and I'm talking there's maybe 75 members of the House, sit down every single week with the AGs to talk about legal strategy. This is all going on every single week behind the scenes. It is nonstop talk. Nonstop introduction of bills and legislation, nonstop.
And see, that's how you fight.
Yeah.
I mean, now, obviously, I disagree with their goals, but she's absolutely right about that. That's how you fight. That's what I wish Republicans were doing. That, you know, governors and AGs and the House of Representatives and the senators would be meeting and working together to find out how you're going to fight against this lawfare. There's got to be ways around this. If you want to live by the court, you should also have to die by the court.
I had a texter text in a minute ago, and this was really simple, but you can do this. If you bypass due process coming into the country, you bypass it going out. Yeah. Congress can pass a law saying that. Mm-hmm. Again, another simple fix. There are so many ways we can fix this. And I really think the Trump administration is making a mistake taking these cases to the Supreme Court. I really do. I think the way is to go through and say, hey, listen, and what that would be a version of Remain in Mexico. Which Trump used another provision of federal law to do when he said, because you can do this, you either stay in Mexico while we process your asylum application. We catch you in the United States of America. You're DQ'd. You're done. You're not coming in. We're not hearing it. You're disqualified. Okay. But if you stay in Mexico, we'll process it there. And they did. They stayed in Mexico. It worked.
So here's the option that you're looking at. Are you going to depend on Congress to take action to do away with the jurisdiction of these courts? Or do you take a 50-50 chance with the Supreme Court of getting the right decision?
I think I go the Congress route first. That's what I think, and see if I fail. There's got to be a way to do it. And look, if they fail, if they can't get the votes, at least we know who is who. I want to know how our local delegation would vote on that. I'm very curious. Mm-hmm. I'm a suspicions. I think it'll smoke out a lot of people who are really open borders people, who are really, when it comes right down to it, have war chests loaded, you know, with U.S. Chambers of Commerce money, where they want to profit by busting down wages and having as many illegals as possible to artificially, you know, deflate wages and increase the labor pool. There's more people than jobs, even though you have to break the law to do it. So I do not like this idea of going to the Supreme Court. I don't like it at all. I think it's incredibly fraught with danger. And let me tell you what, you know who else thinks it's fraught with danger for us? The Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're doing this. If they thought they weren't getting this precedent, or they would get a precedent they didn't like, they wouldn't be pushing this, would they?
Yeah.
Because it's going to end up in the Supreme Court. They know when it comes down to it, what I know. John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett, when pushed, will vote open borders every single time. And they will burn down the Constitution to do it.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Okay, as promised, we're going to give it a try. Last hour of the Tara Show on Friday, 800-905-0989 is the call-in number. I'm going to try to do a good job reading the text line as well. Okay, waiting the longest is Leslie from Easley, who wants to talk apparently about St. Kilmore. Good morning.
Hey, Tara. First, I wanted to say my husband and I have been listening to you since you first came to Greenville. We love you and never miss a day.
Oh, thanks.
You're always right and just so far ahead of everyone else. We think you're essential listening for anyone wanting to be on top of the news, and that you're good enough to be the next Rush Limbaugh.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, we really believe that. Anyway, I just wanted to ask you a question about Kilmore. Maybe you've already talked about this, but I'm still listening to the 7 o'clock hour of your show, so I'm a little behind, but I heard on the Megyn Kelly podcast last night that the Donald Trump defense team has made 2 sealed motions in court in the last few days, and he asked for a 1-week stay which was granted by this previously aggressive judge. Do you think that means he's bringing Garcia back into the U.S.? And if so, do you think that they could bring him in secretly and get him before an immigration judge before the Democrats find out?
Okay, I don't know what they're going to do, but this has been the thing with him I've been most afraid of, that they would buckle under to these judges and create that legal precedent that they were wrong, and that anyone he sends out under this act gets a review. It's possible. I mean, we've already seen him transferred out of CECOT in El Salvador to a low security holding facility. And I think the Democrats will be encouraged by it. Now, I'm wondering if they did do it, and I thought this too, what the options might be. I mean, there's no rule that says he's got to have the hearing here. He could have it in El Salvador.
I was wondering if they could do like a Zoom hearing.
Exactly. Zoom hearing, or even send somebody down to El Salvador if they did it. But I don't think they should do it. See, here's what they're doing. Okay. This overall, Leslie, what the Democrats are doing, they're setting up an Andrew Jackson kind of situation here, and really an Abraham Lincoln kind of situation here. If you go back and read, the beginnings of the Civil War, he was acting in violation of the courts. He won. He's a great American hero. Glad that he did. But Abraham Lincoln very much was on his own warpath with the Civil War. People forget that. He defied the courts to do it. So did Andrew Jackson. Come and make me, basically, was his philosophy. They're trying to push Trump into that, from enjoining him from doing what they know he darn well has the right to do. So that's where we are. So they can then turn around and say he's a dictator and justify putting his entire cabinet in prison.
Honestly, at this point, I'm not sure it would be so bad if he went the route of Andrew Jackson.
See, here, you know what? I was wondering that. I was listening to a podcast the other day where they were talking about, hey, we should go that way. The American people support him. He's sitting at 55% approval. Do you think the American people would turn on him if he did that?
I know I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. I'd love it.
Yeah, I would too. I don't see how it could hardly get much worse than it is. I mean, he can't do anything. His hands are tied behind his back, and they won't let him do anything.
I'll say this at this point, calling Congress out by name is better than going full Andrew Jackson. I'd try that first and get this legislation passed.
Do that,
I know he won't.
He won't, because I watched the Glenn Beck interview with him last night, and he won't do that because Glenn Beck tried to get him to do that, and he won't do that yet. He's not at that point. He's still trying to work nice with Congress, and I wish he would call them out.
Something's going to have to give really soon, or we're going to see the first judge appoint the first prosecutor, or he's going to knuckle under to them. And let me tell you what, Leslie, you are on the right track with what is sealed in court and wondering about that. I'm wondering the same thing, too. If he gives in just one of these cases, Katie, bar the door. I mean, it's going to be an avalanche of orders, unconstitutional orders, trying to get the Supreme Court to approve each one. We could end up coming out of this presidency very quickly, Leslie, with precedent for basically never being able to deport another illegal, no matter what crimes they commit, because of precedent created in this administration. I mean, it's a mess right now.
Yeah, I know exactly what he needs. He needs you for an advisor, and then he would be good.
Well, thank you, Leslie.
Thank you for talking to me.
Yeah, no, and I have questions, and thanks for your phone call. I appreciate it. I have questions too. Like, okay, you guys, you're talking about appointing prosecutors now. Each judge gets their own prosecutor, all 700 of them, I guess. Okay, you and what force are going to pick up the Trump team with handcuffs? Who are you going to send? Which was the essential question Andrew Jackson said. Okay, well, judicial dictators, come and make me. You and what army? I don't know. But I would say this, we are in a constitutional crisis right now, and not the kind that they continue to claim that we are in. Okay, got a bank of phone calls lined up. That was a great call. I really enjoyed that, Leslie. Thank you, and thank you for listening. 800-905-0989. I'll be right back. Trying a Friday experiment with Collins. Going well so far. All right, let's jump to Craig from Newberry. He's been waiting 27 minutes. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. Thank you for your time, and I love your show.
Thanks.
A lot. I think I was going to bring up has already been said just a little while ago, but I believe we're at the point where, and it's my understanding that Congress is the one through legislation that created all of the courts, federal court system below the Supreme Court. So if they can create, they can take it away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's already been covered somewhat, but at the same time, yes, I'm afraid we may be at the point of what Andrew Jackson had to do with, I think it was Marshall. But it also speaks to somewhere in the Federalist Papers where they talked about the legislative branch has the purse, the executive branch has the sword. So what does the judicial branch have? Well, right now they seem to have more power than everyone else because the impression has been given for such a long time that they are the final arbiter on everything they say they are, and they're not. And I say they're not because the Constitution says we the people, not us the judges. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm glad that you, you're bringing this up. I went to a great presentation on this once a number of years ago. Diane Hardy with Mom and Pop Alliance brought an expert in on this and how we have been brainwashed. It really started around the 1960s as Americans when we would open up our history books, our civics books, and we would see three co-equal branches and Congress equal to the courts and the courts equal to the presidency. That's not the case. It's not how it goes. The way that it was intended by our founders was Congress on the top, the president under that, and then under that, the courts. The courts were to be subservient. They were there to be helpful in order, in other words, to interpret what Congress meant by the laws. That was the main purpose of the courts, not to make new law. But we began to focus on this co-equal branch idea really around the 1960s. It's new. And it's not the way it is. And our courts have grown exponentially more powerful, really, with Congress just sort of ceding power to the courts and believing they are the final arbiter. But that's a myth. It's not meant to be that way. And the whole idea, and it's, you know, it's great. I don't know if you heard in our news, Lee did a really fascinating story about this resurgence of the Federalist Papers, the founding documents, and people are buying them and downloading them. And it's really cool. One of the things that you will see was, this whole idea that the only power that the courts were ever meant to have would be that people, leaders, state leaders, whoever you want to, you know, put in the districts, would comply out of honor for the courts, out of respect for the courts, but not because they were required by the courts. And obviously, I'm talking about civil matters now, not criminal. But that would be the way it would do. And the founders expected a lot of nullification. They assumed there'd be nullification. They assumed that politicians would simply ignore the courts. Keep in mind, again, when a lot of this went on, there weren't even supposed to be federal district courts. There weren't any federal district courts. This is a creation of Congress. This myth they got all this power is just a crock. The Supreme Court has a lot more power, but no. We need to remember that. Maybe that can be the legacy of the Trump era.
I agree. My last words on that is I agree with you completely. And the fact that there's a resurgence in the awareness and attention and the learning of the Federalist Papers is the best news I've heard all year.
I know. It's great. You go back and read them. You're just like, wow.
Yes. Yes.
One of the really cool things you could read, too, is the speeches and debate at the first Constitutional Convention, the second one. And I did that one time, and I was just, like, sitting there. I did it over a couple of weeks while I was waiting for my son, some sessions he was in. And I was amazed at how radical the founders were and what rebels they were and how afraid they were of power and how they spent a lot of their speeches, which got very fiery, and the first Constitutional Convention failed because of it. They had to bring in Washington to preside over the second one because Washington was so wildly popular, nobody would want to disappoint him. And they finally got one, but they finally got it done. But they were debating back and forth how to make sure the military could be defeated by the people. And they were all in agreement that the military should be structured so it could be defeated by the people. But they just weren't in agreement on how to do it. And they had a debate at one point, limit the size of the military to a certain percentage of the population so that it could always be beaten by the people. They wanted to build a system that the people could overthrow again. And you start reading that. I mean, nobody talks like that now. Everybody's like, well, we need cooperation. Our politics very contentious, you know, and that's bad. They intended it to be that way. We've forgotten all of it. You got me going, Craig.
I appreciate your time, and you give me a lot of homework. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, another thing that will shock you if you read the Federalist Papers or even the speeches from the debate at that time, you're like, wow, has our reading and writing ability declined? Our education system declined. It is amazing how during that time they didn't even have electricity, the educations that they had, and including for people who never even went to university. Just unbelievable how eloquent they were, the vocabulary that they had. And anyway, you get me started on that. I'll go on forever. Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Text writes, I'm always amazed that the only people who have no rights are the law-abiding citizens of this country. Another text writes, love the Friday experiment. You're doing great, Tara. Thank you. Much love from a 10-year listener, Mick from, Detroit, really? Like you came here from Detroit or you're in Detroit? Huh, he's got a 734 area code. That's cool. You got to text me back. Tell me, are you in Detroit? And what are you doing in Detroit, Mick? Get out of there. That place is crazy. Texture rates. We need to make it more comfortable for them to leave than to stay. That's what Trump's doing, I think. Another texture rates. Every citizen should buy weapons if they can carry them openly. Another texture rates. Usually I get through to Scott and Timmons, but taking call back, hopefully we listeners are getting through regarding Congress limiting court and district jurisdiction. Okay. Texter writes, why is Trump acting fearful now? Where's the fight, fight, fight cry? Not the time to go weak. We are in a crisis. Pope's dead. Constitution is next. Look, I get the fear of Trump of alienating these people. But again, I think the big mistake, and I said at the time, was Mike Johnson a speaker. I freaked out. I thought surely Trump wasn't going to go there, and he did. And I know he wanted to not have that messy fight be the defining moment of the beginning of his presidency, but what a mess. Texter writes, this is what Hegseth and Trump need to do. Enough talking, time for action. Another texter writes, been thinking about Trump and his either nonchalance, I don't think it's that, or fear of action, I think it is that. I'm talking about confronting Congress, because once you do it, you can't undo it. And remember who Thune is, okay, over there in the Senate. I don't even think it's Mike the Knife he fears completely. I think it's John Thune. Remember John Thune warning Trump to stay out of the Senate races for majority leader? Just telling him it was none of his business to stay out? Yeah. That's who he fears, that guy. And I don't want to say fear is the wrong word, but is afraid that Thune will spend the rest of his presidency hanging up his agenda if he isn't doing it already. Texter writes, the judicial activism is the consequence of the growth of the bureaucratic culture from the 50s onward. Basically, that's destroyed so many aspects of American life. I'm glad you brought that up, okay? Do you know what's actually going on here, if you think about it? Well, yes, it's liberal judicial dictators doing this, okay? But the question is, how do they keep getting the right judge? So over 90% of these cases end up being heard by liberal judges. Why? That's the corruption. Right there, there's no lottery going on here. The Democrats have seized yet another institution. They control almost every federal agency from the FBI to the CIA, and we've seen the destruction of that. They are controlling who gets these cases. And nobody's talking about this part. We're talking, what do we do about the judges? What about, we need to pass bills. Yes. How are they doing this? Because I am convinced it's not legal. All of these, we saw it, folks. We saw this in the blue judicial dictatorship of New York. The state courts, by law, judges are selected by a lottery. By law. And yet Trump got a judge for the 34 count, ended up being felony trial, that wasn't even part of the lottery. He wasn't a sitting judge. They brought him in. And that judge wasn't even allowed to hear the case because his daughter worked for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, in the Senate Democrats. He had a conflict that also put him in violation of law. heard it anyway. Why? They have total control of these courts. That's how this is happening, because they control what judge is gotten. These are not legitimate rulings. The real coup here isn't the individual rulings by the liberal judges, but how Trump doesn't seem to get anything else. Nobody's talking about that. And here's what people are texting me. Well, we should do it too. We should do it. No, it wouldn't work for us. We don't control the system. We'd go in and we'd get the liberal judges too. Talking about, you know, why don't we do this to Democrats? We can't. We don't have the ability to. We don't control the court bureaucracy. That's what they control. I was just trying to find over the break, and I know I have it in here somewhere in my massive 2,600 audio clip file that I have, but I couldn't find it because I have so many Joe Biden clips. Joe Biden bragging when he still thought he was going to run for president, bragging to young people about how he was defying the Supreme Court's order against letting them out of paying off their student loans. Remember, he had signed an executive order. They didn't have to pay their student loans back. Ended up before the Supreme Court. They said, no, you can't do that. And then he just proceeded to rewrite it and do it again. Took it back to the court. Bragged that he was going to continue defying the court. He was pretty proud of himself. So, I mean, you know, but the Democrats called him a dictator. No, they didn't. Democrats said he was like the Gestapo. Nope, didn't do that either. The courts were meant to be defied. They were. Especially when they're wrong. And the idea was that the people would be the ultimate arbiter. If they felt like the, you know, the person in charge had gone too far, that person would lose in the next election. Well, now we have courts this week dictating that illegal immigrants will vote in the next election. Yeah, can't do any ID check there. Why? Because the judge said. Let's make it up as you go. It's a judicial dictatorship. Texter writes, Tyrion Lee, how are the same radical corrupt judges getting these Trump cases? See, that is what needs to be investigated, because this is statistically impossible. Eric Schmidt, the senator, said that, and he's right. In other words, this isn't even legitimate. These rulings aren't legitimate. The court system is not legitimate. But it's one of those things nobody wants to talk about. And we should talk about it. Here it is. I just found it. Senator Eric Schmidt. Here we go. Talking about this. Hold on. Let me play it. Asking this question. He would know because he was an attorney general before he went to the Senate.
You've got Judge Boasberg in the D.C. District Court level that's being assigned cases that are supposed to be random. It's statistically impossible, Laura, for him to get the number of high-profile cases he's gotten. So something's going on right here, going on right now, and it stinks.
Yeah, and Mike Johnson, to his credit, pointed that out too. 92% of the judges are liberal. That is impossible that they're Democrat appointees. Can't do it. You can't. This is being bureaucratically controlled. And much the same way as during the 8 o'clock hour, I was talking about how basically, you know, the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, Biden administration secretly wrote their own version of the Digital Services Act to persecute people and debank them for their religious and political views. And then they classified it to hide that it existed and to hide their crimes. Well, you can't do that. Well, yes, you can. If you take over the bureaucracy, you can. That's what they're doing with the courts. It's the same thing. Is it legal? No. Texter writes, my listener in Northern Michigan is a devout listener. My sister in Northern Michigan is a devout listener to the Battleground podcast. Thank you. By the way, I've done a really poor job lately reminding you. If you tune in like once a week, you wish you could listen more, and you want to keep up with what's going on, the Battleground America Friday edition is for you. It's got basically double the listenership of the other days. A lot of people just use it when they run their errands on Saturday morning, especially folks who've, you know, had a busy week and are like, wow, look like some interesting things going on this week, and I didn't, you know, wasn't able to pay attention. That's what Battleground is for, and we run down the top things that you need to know in the week that was, that will affect you the most. And they're not always the top stories in terms of clicks and hits either. They are the most important ones, though. So yes, that comes out today. Actually, I've almost finished it. And so, you know, be sure to check that out on Fridays. And again, it's a great thing to listen to on Saturday and Sunday as you're driving around town, running your errands, getting it done. And you're thinking, I wish I had talk radio to listen to. You do. By the way, you can always find Battleground and a lot of the work I do, a lot of my videos up on my social media. So it's at Tara Servatius, whether it's Gab, Twitter, X, or Facebook. You'll find it all pinned there. All right. Texture writes, Tara, can a conservative judge place an objection on a liberal judge's injunction? Or I don't know if you're talking about Supreme Court, District Court, Circuit Court, Appeals Court. I'm sorry, I don't know. But what the tack I'm surprised we haven't taken yet is digging into, are any of these rulings legitimate? How do we keep getting these judges? I guess we're just going to pretend that this is all legit and all normal. We do that a lot. All right. Have a great weekend. Check out the Battleground America podcast. Mike's up next.